Hello, I'm Georgina Marshall, Global Head of ISS Research, and welcome to the ISS Proxy Bulletin podcast series. This installment will look back at the recently concluded 2019 South Korean proxy season, now the most concentrated voting season on Earth, exceeding even Japan in terms of its intensity and high in challenges for voters and for the ISS, and for the ISS Korean research team too. ISS Head of Asia ex Japan Research, Warren Chen, joins me today from Singapore for this podcast and will provide a concise wrap-up of this year's action, most of which took place in just a few weeks of March. Warren, welcome. Korean season is typically a sprint for proxy voters given the market's compact, some might say crazy AGM schedule, and the number of controversies and issues affecting Korean companies. Was the 2019 season as action-packed as recent years?
Yes, the Korean proxy season never disappoints. It was a full of controversial issues, contentious shareholder proposals, and as you noted, a highly concentrated meeting calendar. The 2019 AGM schedule was compact with a handful of peak days, each hosting anywhere from 200 to 300 meetings. Overall, the total meeting volume covered by ISS was up approximately 7% year over year, with roughly 60% of the total number of meetings taking place over three peak days. So if you hold many Korean companies in your portfolio, you will have experienced some of this intensity too. While meeting overlap was still significant this season, the good news is that the concentration continues to trend downwards as companies are starting to spread out their AGMs more, rather than all clustering on the same few days. Peaks still exist, but they are not as high as previous seasons, as meetings are slightly more distributed. This season, for example, March 29th was the most active day with 345 meetings. In contrast, the 2018 season peak day had 420 meetings. This steady improvement is directly attributable to changes in government policy that encourages minority shareholders to attend shareholder meetings. At the end of 2017, the Korean government eliminated the practice known as shadow voting, which had permitted companies to convene meetings without many shareholders in attendance. In February 2018, the Financial Service Commission, the Korea Stock Exchange, Korea Listed Companies Association, and the KOSDAQ Listed Companies Association started an initiative that takes aim at AGM concentration. Specifically, a company must now provide a rationale for its choice of meeting date in its circular if it chooses to convene an AGM on one of the peak days. And to encourage issuers' participation, companies that voluntarily took part in the program will receive incentives from the respective associations, such as fee reductions.
Well, that's encouraging. Hopefully shareholders will get even more breathing room next year then. What were some of the notable meetings that you saw this season?
Well, it would not be Korean proxy season without proxy contests, criminal indictments against executives, and some convicted criminals being nominated and elected to serve on the boards. So Hyundai Motor and Hyundai Mobis topped the list of contentious meetings. Hedge fund activist Elliott Management filed shareholder proposals at both companies seeking large one-time dividend payouts as well as election of outside director nominees. In separate open letters to shareholders of these two companies, Elliott expressed concerns that the company's governance practices, overcapitalization, and poor track records in making non-core investments have depressed valuations and prevented them from realizing their full potential. Both companies hotly contested Elliott's proposals. They argued that the payments of the requested special dividends would leave the companies without sufficient cash to meet future capital funding requirements. They also said that Elliott's nominees lacked the necessary expertise and experience when compared to these, compared to those of management's nominees. Ultimately, Elliott was not successful in either its dividend or board nomination proposals. And next up is Korean Airlines. In October 2018, Cho Young-ho, the chairman of Korean Airlines, was indicted by the Seoul Southern District Prosecutor's Office for embezzlement and breach of trust. including tax evasions, financial scams, and irregular payments to family members who were not employed by the airline. And these alleged crimes dated as far back as 2003 and continue through 2018, according to the prosecutors. This year, the company asked shareholders to re-elect Chairman Zhou as an inside director for a three-year term. In response, two separate minority shareholder groups initiated vote no campaigns against Zhou's re-election. Now, Korean Airlines countered these campaigns by arguing that Chairman Zhou's expertise and experience was critical to the company's core airline business. And specifically, the company said Zhou played an important role in Korean Airlines' partnership with Delta Airlines, as well as expanding their air networks with other partners. Addressing the legal matter surrounding Zhou, the company argued that they believed that he would be acquitted of all the charges. In a surprising, unusual turn of events, shareholders of Korean Airlines actually voted against Cho's re-election to the board. The removal of Cho was a surprise to many, as this was the first time where a founding family member was voted off the board of any major South Korean corporation. Despite the outcome of the vote, Cho remained the CEO of the company and a significant shareholder of the company through another South Korean entity, Hanjinkal. One final twist remained, however, when Cho passed away just a few days after the AGM.
And Warren, wasn't that company you mentioned, Hanjinkal, also the subject of controversy itself?
That's right, Georgina. Korea's National Pension Fund, NPS, proposed amendments to Hanjinkal's article for incorporation regarding director's qualifications. NPS argued that the provision would enhance the board's functioning and enhance shareholder value by excluding director nominees who are deemed unqualified to serve on the board. Essentially, the proposed qualification provision said that any outside director nominees who had been sentenced to a prison term should be immediately dismissed and should not be elected as a director of the company for 3 years. However, Hanjinkal's management attacked the measure, saying that it was unfair for a governmental entity to request such changes to a specific company's article of incorporation rather than taking a broader market-wide action via regulatory changes. Notably, the proposal did not receive sufficient shareholder support to pass.
Sadly, it seems that sometimes the more things change in the Korean market, the more they remain the same. And were there any other meetings of note?
Yes, Samsung Biologics. So in 2018, the company was sanctioned twice by the Securities and Futures Commission for accounting irregularities and poor disclosure of material information. The SFC called for the corrections of financial statements, audits from designated auditors for 3 years, a penalty of 8 billion Korean won, or around 7 million US dollars, and the removal of CEO and CFO. While the company sought court rulings on the validity of these findings, it actually paid the 8 billion Korean won penalty. The company said that it considered the fine to be recoverable. Subsequently, the Seoul Administrative Court took steps to temporarily suspend the sanctions, and Samsung Biologics now awaits the final court ruling. This year, shareholders were asked to re-elect Mr. Kim Dong-jun as an inside director. Kim was one of the executives, namely the CFO, whose removal had been requested by the SFC for dereliction of duty for the alleged intentional breach of accounting rules. The re-election of nominee Kim was ultimately approved by the shareholders. It was worth noting that in Korea, it is not mandatory for companies to disclose the specifics of voting results to the public. And as such, most companies only disclose whether a proposal has passed or failed. So while the re-election of Kim was approved, the level of support he received is not disclosed. So all things considered, it was a very interesting season. Back to you, Georgina.
And that's it for our Korea Proxy Season Review podcast. Thank you, Warren, and thanks to you, our listeners. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please watch your email for the next installment and send any feedback or questions to bulletin@issgovernance.com. Thanks again, and goodbye for now.